But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, I want you to look with me. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you again for just a wonderful opportunity and that to be able to stand and preach one more time. And Lord, I thank you for the call in my life. I thank you for your salvation. But Lord, we need your help tonight. Lord, we certainly do. And we just ask you for some direction this evening. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, that you would help somebody tonight that might be here. We do, Lord. I pray that you would help somebody here tonight that needs some instruction. Most of all, if there's somebody here that's lost, I pray you might save them, bring them to a place of repentance, to where they can trust you, where they would trust you, and that to be their Savior tonight. Lord, let us get out of the way. Let everybody else get out of the way tonight and just let you have their way. Let you have your way in their life tonight. And Lord, we want to tell you again that we love you and we thank you for all that you've done, the many blessings that you've given us. But we ask you to touch us and anoint us afresh for just a little while. Just help us tonight. Clear our mind and our thoughts and guard them, and we'll give you the glory for it all. Save the sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen and amen. I want to preach tonight on having a thought on what it takes to take a stand. I want to preach on what it takes to take a stand. I was eating the other day, me and another preacher was eating with a gentleman that goes to a different church, and we were talking about some things that was going on in his church. They're not strictly King James only, and he's told me and told somebody else on numerous occasions that he wished they were King James only. He's going to have to leave his church, but he was telling us the other day he's not going to take that stand and that publicly in his church. And he said, boys, I don't want to talk about it. I said, okay, if that's what you want to do, we won't talk about it. We went on, ate our lunch, and went about our business. But that thing began to mull over in my head, and I began to think and pray about that on what does it take to take a stand. I think today that you need to understand what it does take to take that stand. Tonight we find that as the Apostle Paul lays out in taking a stand really against our enemy in verses 10 through 18, that's what he's dealing with right here. And I'm going to deal with that here in just a second. But he says to be strong in the power of his might. Now we can't be strong in our might and expect to win the battle when it comes to spiritual things. You can't win a spiritual fight in your own strength. You have to understand that tonight. Amen. We must tonight have the strength and that of the Lord in our life. And he teaches us and tells us to put on the whole armor of God that would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to be able to stand in that against the fiery darts and that of the wicked, and be able to wrestle, to be able to fight as we should. Now you realize that your Christian life is a fight tonight. Now if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Amen. That's what it boils down to. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the one that come here. He's the one that went to Calvary and died for us so that we might be saved. He stood out there one day as we sang in page 44 tonight and said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Thank God there's rest in the Lord Jesus because of what he done for us yonder at Calvary. Amen. Thank God for that. But listen, as we fight our battle, and we must make our stand and take our stand, I would rather die making my stand and taking my stand as being a coward and turning and running from a fight, amen, that I thought was worthy of a fight. I want you to take your Bible tonight. I intend to go here, but let's look in the book of Nehemiah for just a second. I want you to go to the book of Nehemiah and look. I'll have to find it. I believe it's somewhere around Nehemiah chapter 4, chapter 5, but I'll find it. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah is rebuilding Jerusalem. I want you to go to Nehemiah 4. And he's rebuilding the walls at this time and getting Jerusalem and that back in shape, if you'd let me say that. And he's had to go back in. And no doubt as they're building the walls, if you've read anything and I've been here when we've preached on Nehemiah, there was enemies against them that wanted to stop them from building the wall. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, the Bible said in verse 14, "And I look and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." As I read that tonight, I want you to understand that there's some things worthy of a good fight. There's some things worthy for you to stand for. Listen tonight, somewhere along the line, you got to learn to stand on your own two feet and have your own convictions and have your own standards about how you're going to live and have your life as a Christian. And so we find right here, we find that he said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Hey, listen, we do have an enemy tonight that is against us. 1 Peter 5 and 8 said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour." Luke chapter 22, the Lord Jesus told Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon," he said, "Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Beloved friend, I tell you, I believe I've been in a sifter a time or two, and I tell you, it ain't no fun when Satan's after you and he's trying to destroy you. But I want you to look at what he said in verse 13. He said, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And look what your Bible says, "and having done all," he said, "and having done all to stand." I think when it comes judgment seat time, I wonder how many of us is going to be guilty of not having done all to stand. Now I think in here tonight, I hope there's no reason that you'd have to take a stand in this church. Amen. Your convictions and what is preached out of this pulpit ought to be so close that there's no reason for you to have to make a stand inside this church. Amen. Amen. I hope you believe that tonight and know that. I'm with Brother Ralph in what he said while he was preaching. You say, "You're against everything." I ain't against everything. But if you'll tell me what I ain't against, I'll be against it. Amen. I thought that was funny. Amen. As one feller said, as my pastor used to say, "We'll shoot at it, and if it keeps wiggling, we'll shoot at it till it quits wiggling." Amen. Listen, tonight we must understand that first of all, there comes a time when we must make a stand against our enemy. Do you realize that this is what Paul is talking about here at the church at Ephesus, is to stand against the enemy? I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Timothy. I go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. That word while you're going there, when he talks about that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that word while is a trick that is practiced for ensnaring or for deception. But if there's anybody good at that, it's the devil. Amen. But I want you to look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look in verse 14. Second Timothy chapter, the Apostle Paul has had to make his stand numerous times. You go and you look in the book of Acts, I believe it's chapter 17, Paul's in Athens on Mars Hill. He's by himself. Those other men are on the boat, and he's by himself, and he must make his stand out there with a bunch of people that are praying to other gods and the one that was the unknown God. We find a time when the Apostle Paul and that had to stand against his own countrymen. We find a time when Paul had to stand and that against false teachers and false preachers. As I studied this, I thought about Bar-Jesus over there, one of those false prophets that Paul stood against. And listen, there just comes times that we got to stand. But look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we'll look what he said in verse 14. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Now, he's writing to Timothy. He's in Rome at this time. Paul is coming to the end of his life, if let me say that. And he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may be not laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by my preaching, or that by me, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let me park right here. Let me go back and read something out of the book of Ephesians. What did he say? He said that we're to stand. Why? Because there is an evil day that's coming. Now I understand we're living in an evil day when it comes to morality. We're living in an evil day when it comes to spiritual wickedness. But bad days are going to come. And Paul said right here, Alexander the coppersmith, what? Did me much evil. He said, you need to learn to stand when the evil days come. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when the enemy is a-raging and you've got to look at him face to face, you need to be able to stand. You need to know what the truth is. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get on the job with some people. You're going to get somewhere out in town. And listen, somewhere you're going to have to make your stand. It may be in your family that you have to make and take your stand. I hope it's never in this church. But I want you to look. The work of the enemy that was against the Apostle Paul, he said, he did me much evil. He said, the Lord recorded, reward him according to his works. His works was against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are people out there that are against us. They are against you. And the louder we preach and the more of a stand we take on salvation by the gospel of Christ and faith alone, people are not going to like you. There's certain denominations out there now that don't like us.
Amen.
Well, them old Baptists, they just believe you can get saved and then live any old way and still go to heaven. Now, that's not true.
That's right.
But that's what they say about us. Amen. They think because works is not involved in salvation and in keeping your... Hey, listen, if I had to keep myself, I'd have died lost I don't know how many times.
Right.
I'm glad I ain't doing the keeping tonight.
Right. Amen.
Right. I want you to look. He said the Lord reward him according to his works. So he was working against Paul while Paul was trying to work and that for the Lord. The Bible said right here... He said that what? He tells us at one point, he said he hath greatly withstood our words. He said, look, he's done me much evil. He's worked against me. He has stood against my words and my works. Every time I've preached, he's had something negative to say against me and against the gospel. Hey, I'm going to tell you, just because you have the truth and know the truth does not mean folk are going to back down. I mean, you better learn to not only be dogmatic, but bulldogmatic.
Amen.
That's what my preacher used to say. You need to learn how to plant your feet, and not only plant them, but get dug in.
Yeah.
And then dare somebody knock you down. But you better know the truth. You better know how to wield your sword. You better understand why you believe what you believe.
Amen.
Not just because the preacher believes it. Just not because I preach it, whether it's talking about eternal security or whether we ought to just live right, live separated from the world. There's always going to be somebody that's against you. I kind of think Alexander the coppersmith was kind of like Demetrius the silversmith over in the book of Acts. You remember when Demetrius the silversmith caught after Paul? I mean, Paul was over there in that preaching against Diana, remember? Diana was the goddess, was the Greek goddess of the hunt and the nighttime and all those things and nature and moon, excuse me. And the moon, she was the goddess of those things. And they made all those little graven shrines or idols to Diana. And I mean, Paul was preaching against her and telling them the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean, Alexander got, Demetrius got plumb been out of shape. I kind of think this is what Paul's into right here. Alexander the coppersmith. I may not be, but I do know this. He was standing against Paul. He was working against Paul while Paul was trying to do the work of the Lord. I wonder how many of us, you know, the Bible said, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm not looking to suffer persecution, but I do know this, that we got to live godly to suffer persecution. So Paul, he is fixing to make his stand. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And so he talks about his work. And then he warns Timothy. He said, of whom be thou ware also? Hey, it was not in a light manner. Paul understood the danger. He understood what was going to happen and what could happen. And knew that Timothy was going to need the whole armor of God. What do you mean, preacher? Listen, Timothy, I was the first pastor at the church at Ephesus. Who did he give the whole armor of God to? Well, the church at Ephesus, didn't he? Said, no, who it was wrote to? And so Paul, he was telling him and warning him in verse 15, you need to be careful about this feller. Listen, a lot of times we think that we can holler boo at the devil and he'll run from us. We'll make our stand. The devil will not knock us down. And we'll just stand for Christ Jesus with a smile on our face and nothing's going to happen. You ever got in a fight? I mean, you ever been in a fight? I mean a knockdown, drag out. I mean just wearing it out fight. Somebody, if not both somebodies, get hurt.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just going to be honest with you. We used to roughhouse when we was kids, and I can still remember there's a bunch of us boys up there at the house one time. We got to roughhousing, and I thought I'd broke my leg. I mean, that thing hurt. Mama had this great big old rug out there in the kitchen at the dining room table set on. She still has a big old rug out there, just a different one, you know. And by the time we got done roughhousing it and carrying on, that thing was done shifted around. And I mean, made all kinds of, one feller said, you're just rearranging all the furniture, amen. But you know what? We're just roughhousing and fighting. And I thought I done broke my leg. Listen, when you get in a fight, a knockdown drag out, I'm going to tell you, it's probably going to hurt just a little bit. But that's why we put on the whole armor of God, you see. We put on, we have our loins girt about with the truth. I mean, the very first thing the Apostle Paul said to start with was the truth. Know what the truth is, believe the truth. And when you know the truth, you can stand. He talks about the breastplate of righteousness. He talks about having our feet shod with preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. And he says, so get covered, you see, where you can fight. But he said, beware of the enemy because he's going to try to destroy you. He knows how to debate you. You got to watch them. Sometimes they will bait you in on something and then want to debate you about things, and you better be very careful about that. You better know what you're talking about. But then I want you to look what Paul done. He said, you beware of him. He said, at my first answer, no man what? Stood with me. Paul, it didn't matter whether anybody else was going to stand, Paul stood alone. Now, that's going to be something else that I talk about here in a minute. Paul stood alone. When nobody else would stand with him, Paul was willing to stand alone. I'm going to tell you tonight, a lot of times when you've got to make your stand, it's generally alone.
Amen.
It's generally alone. Might be you and your wife or you and your husband, you and a friend, but nonetheless, a lot of times when you're making your stand, it's alone. And so Paul, he is standing alone, but the Bible said right here, all men forsook me. I pray God that it be not laid to their charge. And then look in verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You remember three men in the Old Testament? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their given names by the king. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael was their Hebrew names.
Amen.
That God had given them over there, that their father and mother gave them. What happened? They come out there, and when they would not bow down, and when they would not give in, and that to the king, what happened? They had to stand, didn't they? What was it that got them in trouble? It was their stand, wasn't it?
Amen.
Literally, if there was ever anybody that got in trouble for standing, it was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we want you to bow down at the sound of the music and worship this image that the king has set up out there in the plains of Dura. And so when it come time and the music went off, there everybody bowed down. But here stood Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so they end up in front of the king, and the king says, oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you did not bow down at the sound of the cornet and salt? All those things, you know. And they said, no, we did not bow down. And the king was going to give them another opportunity, but they just cut him off, basically.
Amen.
He said, king, we're not going to bow down. Said, the God that we serve said, we're not going to bow. Well, let's go over there and look at that in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. I didn't intend to go here tonight, but I tell you, boy, it's awful good. Some boys that made a stand against the enemy, wasn't it?
Amen.
Daniel chapter 3, I believe it is. Daniel chapter 3. Now I want you to look at what they said to the king over here. He said, now in verse 15, Daniel 3. He said, now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. He said, everything will be well. Everything will be good if you'll do that. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Thank God for that. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. No matter what does, king, these boys right here made a stand, didn't
Amen.
They? I mean, they dug in. I mean, they're talking to the man that has told them, I'm going to kill you. And they had planted their feet firmly and was willing to die for the God of heaven. Verse 19. How many of us would be willing to do that? Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it is wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, thank God, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is alive, the Son of God. We know the rest of the story. The king calls them out and they come out. And the only thing that was burnt up on them was the bounds that the king had put on them when he threw them in there. The Bible said that not even the smell of smoke had passed on them. They's doing better than some Baptists. Amen. Some of y'all catch that after a while. So here they were. But what did they do? They made their stand, didn't they? But you know what? They still ended up in the fiery furnace, didn't they? Daniel still ended up in the lion's den.
Amen.
Even though he was right in what he done, he still ended up in the lion's den. I remember preaching that years ago, standing right here. Even doing right will get you in trouble sometimes.
Right.
But Paul stood alone against Alexander the coppersmith. And you know what God done? He come by and helped him. Paul would have never known what it meant to be strengthened by the Lord standing alone until he stepped out by himself. I think sometimes God lets us step out by ourselves so that we'll understand that he's going to be there. You don't know what it's like to be there standing by yourself and have God strengthen you until you get there. You understand what I'm saying? I can tell you about it. I can talk about it. I can tell you God will help you. God will strengthen you. The Bible says so. But friend, when you get there by yourself and it seems like that it's dark and ain't nobody going to be there to help you, all of a sudden, God comes by. Paul does not tell us exactly what God done, but we do know this, that he strengthened him. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I think he was making a reference there to Daniel. Daniel was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, wasn't he? But he's also making a reference to being delivered out of the mouth of the enemy. Paul preached the word. Preach that the gospel might be fully known. Preach that the Gentiles could hear. Listen, he was concerned more about preaching the gospel than he was anything.
Amen.
It was the gospel, I have no doubt, that Paul was making his stand for. And that's what got him in trouble. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." He said, I have to preach the gospel. I was telling Brother Ralph when he was in, we just had a good time of fellowship when he was in. And I was telling him, I remember when I first started preaching, and I can remember I would preach on the lawnmower. What do you mean you'd preach on the lawnmower? Well, that thing's louder than I was, and I'd just drive around and preach. I'd preach in the shower, be getting ready, and I'd preach a while. It may not have been loud, but in my mind, boy, I was a letting her go. Amen. And I mean, I just wanted to preach, and I believe that's what Paul said. God's put something in me. I've got to preach the gospel. Amen. Brother, he told me, I probably ought not tell this. I'll cut this out before it goes on radio. He told me, he said, I've got 20 preachers, around 20 preachers in my church. And he said, you know what? I get them together about every 6 months and tell them, look, if you ain't preached in the past 6 months, are you sure God called you? You know, if he didn't call you, it's okay. You can quit. If he didn't call you, you ain't going to make me mad. I think preacher ought to have some preach in him is what I'm getting at. Preacher ought to have some preach. Want to preach. Want to go do that. And preach what God has given. Hey, listen, Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul, standing in Rome, you know what he wrote to the Roman church in Romans 1? He said, so as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He was concerned about the gospel. And then he said, God delivered me out of line. How or why did God do that? Took his stand. Took his stand against the enemy. You're going to have to take your stand against the enemy. And sometimes it's just going to be by faith. You're going to know what the Bible says. You've got to know the truth. But then you're going to have to stand by faith and say, this is what the Bible says. This is what I believe, what the Bible says. And this is why I believe. Take your Bible and go to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. There's times that we have to stand against the enemy. But God help us when the day comes that we have to stand against the brethren. Joshua chapter 24. We've been studying the book of Joshua on Wednesday night. And I told you I was going to use this for an example. I've got two examples that I'm going to use. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua's fixing to die. And the nation of Israel has already started serving other gods at this point. I want you to look in verse 14. He said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil," there's that word evil again, ain't it? Well, it jumped right out there, didn't it? Remember, all the way back to Ephesians 6, having done all to stand in the evil day. He said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Watch this right here. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua, if you go back and you look, he's got all of Israel out there in Shechem, and he's got them all meeting with them, and he's telling them, "Look, you need to quit worshiping other gods. You need to quit worshiping other idols. But if you're going to go ahead and worship them, if it seems evil to you to serve God, then you do what you want to do. But me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to make that stand right now. We're going to serve the Lord. If you don't want to serve God, that's fine. Don't serve God. But I'm going to.
Amen.
I'm not going to let what you do, I make up my mind about how I'm going to serve God." That's what he's saying. Listen, it would be a bad day when we have to stand against each other in serving the Lord. But I'm telling you, we need to make that stand. He was right in his thought. He was right in his actions, in what he done. And Joshua did not care about what anybody else thought. I'm going to tell you, there comes a day that you have to make your stand, that it don't matter what anybody else thinks about you. You've got to make your stand. Do you know there's decisions that I have to make as being pastor that I really can't care about what you think? It ain't that I don't want that to sound bad. I'm sounding very arrogant right there, I guess you might say. But I don't want to sound that way. But there comes a time when God has dealt with me about the direction of this church. And He's dealt with me specifically because, by the way, I am the pastor, amen. He does have me here to guide this church. And there comes a time that whether you like it or lump it or ever how you want to say it, God has dealt with me about it, and that's the direction we need to go. I'm not talking about just all willy-nilly. I spent time in prayer and sought God and all those things. But there comes that time. You just need to learn how to stand sometimes. No matter what anybody else is doing. No matter what your friends are doing. No matter what your family's doing. You just need to learn how to stand and say, "We're going to serve God." If your mom and dad don't get up on Sunday morning and come to Sunday school or whatever, you can say, "Look, I'm going to go on." Amen. If your children are old enough to get theirself up, listen, I've been getting myself up and taking myself to church, to my own church, since I was 16 years old. Been driving myself there. My mother did not get me up and get me ready. I got myself up and got myself ready. Started it, and that was even prior to that. But I mean, as far as driving myself and getting myself there at 16 years old. Yeah, I don't think there's none of you in here that your mom and dad's ought to have to come get you up out of bed and tell you it's time to get started and go take a shower and get clean. All of you are old enough to do that. Man. And if I have to teach you them kind of manners, you're really in trouble. I mean, take some responsibility, man. I mean, just take some responsibility. Amen, preacher. You're doing good. It'll be all right. Amen. You'll love me anyway, won't you? Where was I? Joshua. Joshua made his stand. And you know what? Everybody agreed with him. Everybody said, "You're right, Joshua. You're right." He said, we don't need to serve other gods. We're going to serve the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. Hey, do you know sometimes when you make your stand, people just might see what you're talking about and just line right up with what's supposed to happen. But if you'd have never made your stand, nobody'd ever seen. So, well, God can't use me. Sure He can. That's what we get to thinking sometimes is God, I ain't saying you got to be mean or hateful about any of this stuff. Joshua didn't come out there and he said, look, he said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then you serve the gods of the Amorites and the gods that were on the other side of the flood. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. Are we listening tonight? I still don't think Joshua cared about what anybody else was going to do. Joshua was going to do right, and he made his stand. Then I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Numbers chapter 13. Now, I'm talking about a day when you have to stand against your brethren. Folk you love. Hope that day never comes. But I want you to look in Numbers chapter 13 and then look in verse 27. Children of Israel, they're sitting down there in Kadesh Barnea, basically. That's on the south side of Israel, just coming up right out of Egypt. And so Moses has got 12 spies and sent them over into the land of Canaan. And all 12 of them has come back. And they tell them everything about the land of Canaan. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came in the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Remember, they went over there and they brought back the pomegranates and the grapes and of the figs. You remember that? So big two men had to carry a bunch of them. But the Bible said in verse 28, nevertheless, now when folks start out a conversation, something like that. Nevertheless, we went over there. We looked at what God had to show us in a land with milk and honey. But, that's what nevertheless means, by the way. But they said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and of the Hittites, and of the Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, now what's this? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. They said, look, we can't go. It's too much. It's too big. We can't do anything about it. It's just a mess over there. They're more than we can handle. Caleb stands up. He says, we can go now.
Amen.
Verse 31. See, Caleb's already made a stand, hadn't he?
Amen.
But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up, or that word is again, ain't it? Do you see what your Bible says? Evil report. There's that word evil, ain't it? Seems like the word evil and stand just keeps coming together, don't it? And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Chapter 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give us a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. What's going on? They said, we can't go. 10 spies out of 12. It's bad odds, ain't it? 10 out of 12 said we can't go. And we've got two over here that says that we can. Caleb, when they first start talking about not being able to go, he still the people said, we can go right now. Just load your stuff up. We can go now and we can win. But they said, we can't do it. I mean, they're too great. There's too many giants over there. It's too big for us. We can't do it. I think sometimes we look at a stand and we say, listen, if something was to get out of kilter here doctrinally, if I lost my head and we went the wrong way, somebody ought to stand up.
Amen.
Just being honest. Don't think if I wasn't pastoring, going to church somewhere, and I loved my church, and I loved it, and I wanted to see it do good, don't think I wouldn't stand up if doctrine got a little squirrely.
Amen.
There's one thing about it, it might get right just like they did in Joshua's day, or it might be like this right here. It might be a losing battle. Joshua and Caleb were fighting a losing battle. I mean, 10 out of 12 said, we can't go. They were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. As a matter of fact, when they said, let's just go back to Egypt, let's make us a captain and go back to where we come from. And even the Bible said right here, when they said, only rebel ye not against the Lord. But in verse 10 said, all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Israel wanted to kill them. I'm wondering if they're thinking about their stand now. This is their brethren. Church people can be very mean.
Amen.
They can be.
Yeah. Amen.
Very hurtful.
Amen.
Very hurtful to the preacher. Very hurtful to the preacher's wife and preacher's kids. Very hurtful to other folk that are trying to do something. Just being honest tonight. These men, they had the faith, said, we can go. We can conquer it. Their fortification is gone. We can take them. But it looked too big to them, didn't it? It's a stand, preacher, that it just ain't worth taking. I don't see the outcome on it. See, I think that's why some people don't take a stand, is because they can't see the outcome on it, and to do it, they're going to have to rock the boat just a little bit to get things fixed. And I don't want to be the one that rocks the boat. I've never cared to rock the boat when it needed rocking. But you got to be careful about rocking it. Because if that thing turns over, not only do the people in the boat with you got to know how to swim, you got to know how to swim too. You understand what I'm saying? That's always a last resort. These boys right here, they were fighting a losing battle. They were putting their life on the line. I don't know if they realized they was putting their life on the line, but they were putting their life on the line for making a stand for what God wanted. God wanted the nation of Israel to go over there into the land of Canaan, and they wouldn't go, but yet Joshua and Caleb said, we can go, we can do it. Preacher, I thought if I made my stand, everything would turn out okay. It don't always turn out okay. But you know what? They didn't kill Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua and Caleb had to wait 40 years to get into the land of Canaan. But they got in. As a matter of fact, if you read up over here in the latter part of the chapter, verse 37, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. God killed them. God killed them. They knew what was worth standing for. They knew what was worth standing for. Let me ask you, do you know what's worth standing for? Have you sold out on your convictions? Now, I use the King James Bible a lot of times as a conviction because it's a great big one for me.
Amen.
It really is. I'll be honest, that grace by faith or salvation by grace through faith, big one for me. It's a big one. It's a big one. There's only one way to get saved, and that's by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to dig in and hold on to that one.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I understand that people that's never had to take a stand, it would probably be a little scary to them. but the Lord will stand with you. Know that you're right. Make sure you're right. Make sure you stand for the right thing. And then make you stand. Joshua and Caleb knew they were right. They knew what God wanted Israel to do. They'd seen God work. They'd seen God move. Sometimes you've got to make that stand by yourself. And you may not know how it's going to turn out. But here's the thing. At least you made you stand. When this goes out on the radio, I'll be honest with you. There may come a time for some people. I remember what Nick said one time. We was talking about women deacons, and ladies, you know I love you, but the Bible does not have women deacons.
Amen.
That's not a Baptist doctrine. That's a Bible doctrine.
Amen.
He said, "I hope that I'd have enough about me to be able to stand up and say what I had to say, and if it took leaving, that's what it would take." I thought that's pretty good. Some people are so ingrained that they're even afraid to make their stand, let alone even starting over again if they had to. Now, don't leave because I'm preaching the truth. Amen. But if the truth ever failed to get preached, you'd need to stand.
Amen.
And if it wasn't fixed, then it would be time to move.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Talking about that book. Let's bow our heads tonight.